Well, good afternoon to you. It's great to see you this afternoon. Isn't it kind of strange coming to church in the afternoon? You know, if you don't normally go to church, we normally have church on Sunday morning. We didn't have any this morning, and it's kind of a weird vibe to not come on Sunday morning and just come Sunday afternoon. I woke up this morning and said, honey, I got to preach. I got to preach. We had to preach two times every Sunday morning, so please sit down here. And I was like, honey, wake up, honey. I'm not done yet. You know, it's like, no, she's great. You know, we've been talking about this idea of hope. That's our theme for this Christmas season. Hope came down. Would you consider yourself a hopeful person? You know, the ancient times, sometimes followers of Jesus were called the hopers. Are you a hoper? You know, someone that would be recognized by others as someone not only just positive, but hopeful? We've been looking at this word hope because sometimes hope is hard to grasp a hold of. It's hard to understand. What is it exactly? How do we get it in our life? What does God say about it? How do we get it from Him? What exactly is this idea of hope? So this last month in church, we've been studying this idea of hope, and how we've defined hope for our study is simply the eager anticipation of something better. That I'm sure you, like I, have things that you hope to get better in your life. How many of you would say you got stuff you hope that improves in 2018? I mean, things that have been going on in 2017, 2018, man, you can't wait for things to get better in certain areas. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's in your home, your parenting. Maybe it's in how you're related to one another. Or maybe it's in some kind of sickness or illness or something that's been dragging you down. A lot of us hope for a better tomorrow. And, you know, it's a good thing to hope. The Bible tells us over and over and over again to hope, the eager anticipation of something better. You know, hope in the Bible is one of the top three, isn't it? There's three things that are going to remain, the Bible says, and all three of them are constant throughout time. There is faith, what? Hope, and what? And love. The greatest of these is what? Love, but hope's in the top three. Okay, so as we look at hope, God has a lot to say about it. It's an important issue to Him. He wants you to have it. And by describing hope as the eager anticipation of something better, it gets us excited because things really can get better. Things really can improve. It's okay to be a hoper, to be a hoper. But we've been asking ourselves the question in church, how do we do it? How do we get it? And we discovered three things from the Bible. Number one, hope must have a solid foundation. Hope, and I've been using this little illustration, this H is my hope. Hope can't just be floating around out there. Hope has to have a solid foundation. It has to be resting on something. It has to be founded on something. So we ask ourselves the question, how do I know what my hope for the future is founded upon? Well, we just finished a sentence, and here's the sentence. Because blank can make it happen, I'm going to hope. Because blank can make it happen, I'm going to hope. And there's only three choices about what to fill in the blank. I can fill in the blank with the word I. Because I can make it happen, I'm going to hope for this. But when we fill in the blank with the word I, it means that our future desires, dreams are then founded on who? Founded on me. And am I able to do it? Am I able to pull it off? Do I have the wisdom? Do I have the strength to pull off my hopes and my dreams? I can fill in the blank with the word I because I can make it happen, and it would tell me that my hopes and dreams are founded upon the person of me. And I hope I can do it. I can also fill in the word you because you can make it happen. I can look to others to fulfill my hopes and my dreams. And so my hopes for tomorrow are not founded on me. They might be founded on my spouse. They might be founded on my parents. They might be founded on my friend. They might be founded on someone I haven't met yet. But my hopes are founded on what you can do for me. We can fill in the word you. The third option, and that's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago in church, is we can fill in the word God. Because God can make it happen. I'm going to hope. And we discovered a couple weeks ago in church that God is in control of everything. That God is in control of the universe. He's in control of the solar systems. He's in control of the galaxies. That he's in control of the cosmos. He's in control of the nations. He's in control of our nation. He's in control of our state. Yes, he's still in control of our state. He's in control of our county and our city and our streets and our homes. All the way down, we saw a couple weeks ago, where he is in total control all the way down to the breath that I breathe. So by making God the hope of the foundation of my hopes are unlimited. Because God can do anything. God can do anything anywhere. There's nothing that can stop God from doing what he wants to do. So the first thing that we learned about hope is that it has to have a solid foundation. And that foundation, to get the best hope in life, has to be God. The second thing that we learned last week was that hope also must have a specific focus. Again, hope can't just be floating around out there. If hope is just floating around out there, it means that I'm just daydreaming. It means I'm just speculating. You know, maybe my life is going to get better. I hope in general, just generally speaking, I hope it gets better. But hope, to be true hope and to be fulfilled hope, has to be specific. It has to have a specific idea behind it. And I challenged our people to get out pen and paper and to get alone for an hour and to say, this is what I hope for in the future. And I'm going to finish this sentence. Because blank can make it happen, I am eagerly looking forward to blank. What is it that you would put in this line? What are you eagerly looking forward to? Perhaps something in a relationship, perhaps something in your job, in your finances, in your health, in your spiritual walk with God. What is it that you are eagerly looking forward to? Because hope is the eager anticipation of something better. What is it that you're looking for that's going to be better in your life? Now, when we looked at this hope getting specific, we understood from the Bible that when I align my hopes and dreams with God's hopes and dreams for me, then hope becomes alive. I can have my own set of hopes and dreams over here, and I want this and I want that, and I hope that this happens in my life, and I hope that that happens in my life. But when I open up the Bible and I realize that my list of hopes isn't necessarily what God hopes for me, then the chances of my hopes becoming fulfilled are now just based on me. But if I want the best chances for my hopes and dreams to come true, I need to align them with what God aligns for me. Last week after church, a dear sweet lady came out and met me just right out in the breezeway, and she said, you know, I just want to tell you, for 12 years, I've been hoping that my daughter calls me at Christmas. We haven't spoken in 12 years. And she said, 3 days ago, my daughter called me. She said, I've been waiting and waiting and praying and praying, and after 12 years, her hope was fulfilled. Now, do we think that God wants unity back in the family? Absolutely. So her hope aligned with God's hope, and God made it happen. Another lady showed me a picture of her family and said, you may not see much in this family, but all of us together in the same room hasn't happened for 25 years. Hoping, praying, waiting. But they understood that the reunity in the family is something that God hopes for us. And so it was a legitimate hope for them to have. And it just took time and perseverance for them to realize the hope and make it fulfilled. What are you looking for in your life? And is it aligned with what God hopes? God wants us to have a better life. We studied last week how God has great plans for us, and that as we look into the future and we're trying to find something better, God has a lot of ideas about how to make life better. And when I align my hopes and dreams with his hopes and dreams for me, now all of a sudden my hope is not just floating out there, but man, it is dialed in and it is specific, because hope has to have a specific focus. And thirdly, we're learning that hope must be fueled by someone. That's what I want to wrap up with tonight. It's okay to have the right foundation. It's okay to have the right focus. But hope, if it's not fueled, if there's no gasoline put into the tank, if the ignition is not turned on and the pedal is not pushed, hope will stay stagnant. Something has to move hope forward until it becomes realized. So I've been asking myself the question, what fuels hope? How do I get it to move forward so that what I really want, and it aligns itself with what God wants, so I know that what I'm hoping for is really legitimate? How do I get it to move forward? To move forward. And we fill in this blank in the question. Because blank can make it happen, I am eagerly looking forward to blank. And then here's the third part. So today, I will blank to move hope forward. What am I going to do today to help fuel hope forward for whatever it is God wants to improve in my life? I can't see it yet. I haven't experienced yet. That's why it's called hope, because if I can see it and experience it, it's not hope, it's realized already. But there are things in my life I can't yet see, and I know we're coming down, and I'm hoping for, I'm trusting in God. He's the foundation. I'm very specific, but how do I move it from here to there? And as I look through the Bible, I found three simple principles of how to fuel hope. How to fuel hope. Let me share them with you. Number one, hope must be fueled by someone. The fuel of scriptures. Now, if you're not used to going to church and you're here tonight because someone invited you, I'm going to share just a couple of simple things. And yes, they're going to sound a little churchy, okay? But I want to explain something very simply to you, because I want you to go home tonight and have your hopes, the hopes that God has for you, fulfilled. And here's one way. The hope and the fuel of scripture. There's a verse in the book of Romans. Now, Romans is a book in your Bible. You have 66 books in your Bible. One of them is a letter from a guy named Paul, written in the first century to the capital city of the Roman Empire. And he spends this whole letter writing about the incredible things that God does in the lives of people. And as he's wrapping up the letter, he wants to give them a send-off. And basically he says to them, go out there and give your life to other people. That's the best life possible, is to live a life of giving, not taking. And then he says this in chapter 15, verse 4. He says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our what? For our instruction. What does that mean? That means if you take your Bible and you divide it between the part that came after Jesus and the part that became before Jesus, this part was written for us so that we can learn from it. This part of your Bible was written so that we can have hope. Let me tell you how it works. In this part of your Bible, there are so many stories. Stories about people who were going through difficult times. Stories about people who were lonely and how God rescued them. Stories about people who were sick and God healed them. Stories about people who were broken and God restored them. Stories about people who lost everything and yet God carried them through. There are so many stories. Stories of people who have blown it and have done terrible things and they find God's forgiveness and God's grace. This says to us in this verse that these things that were written prior to his letter were written for our instruction. And watch this. So that through perseverance and the what? Encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Did you know that just reading your Bible will fuel hope in your life? Sounds super strange. And it's coming from a pastor, but here's point number one. Hey, you want to fuel your hope? Read your Bible regularly, because it is compiled, both the stuff that was written before Jesus came and the stuff written after Jesus came. It was compiled so that you can have hope. And you're going to read stuff in there that you're going to think, wow, people that lived in a different time, in a different, spoke a different language, wore really strange clothes and ate weird food, but they struggled with the same kinds of stuff that I struggle with. And God brought them through. And if God could bring them through, God's going to bring me to hope. He's going to fulfill my hopes. So the first fuel to move hope forward is the fuel of Scripture. You say, well, I don't have a Bible. Well, we got some Bibles by the doors. Grab one on your way out. Well, I don't know where to read in my Bible. Well, there's a guy in the Bible named John. Can you remember that? John. He wrote 5 books in your Bible. Just go to the table of contents and find the name John. And turn to John, and I want to encourage you, just read what John wrote about Jesus. It will fuel your hope. Because you're going to discover who Jesus is and what he's all about and what he can do in your life. And all of a sudden, wow, hope that was dormant now comes alive and it begins to move to become a reality. The encouragement of the Scriptures. Number 2. A little bit later in the same letter, chapter 15 and verse 13, this is what the same guy says to the same folks. He says, now may the God of hope, wow, that's pretty good. God is the God of hope. He wants you to have hope. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In other words, hope is described for you in your life as joy and peace. Joy is that deep-seated contentment, even though my life is in chaos. Joy is that deep-seated happiness or being okay, even though life is in chaos. And the God of hope wants to fill me with all joy. He wants me on the inner part of who I am to be okay, even though life is going crazy. And peace. Peace is the conquering of fear and anxiety. So, wow, this is incredible. The God of all hope wants to fill you with all joy and peace. But look at the catch. Look at the tool. In what? In believing. In believing. So that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what is going to kick off hope to be fueled and joy to be filled and peace to come into my life is when I read the Scriptures. Guess what? I need to trust the Scriptures. Because it says in or through believing. And here's what it means. If I'm casual about my relationship with God, hope is going to lay dormant in my life. But if I am aggressive in reading my Bible and trusting what he tells me about who God is and how he works and what he does, then hope is going to come alive. Because see, the Bible has been placed on a level now where you can take it or leave it in our culture, where it's on the same level as a fairy tale or as a myth. But I want to encourage you, that's not the Bible at all. That the Bible has been given to us to fuel our hope. There's the encouragement in the Scriptures when I read it. And when I believe it and I trust it, all of a sudden, wow, the God of hope fills me with peace. The God of hope fills me with joy so that I can abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have hope. He wants to move it forward. But I have to read it. I have to trust it. And then thirdly, there's the idea of the fuel of choices. In John chapter 14, Jesus is quoted here, and he says something kind of unusual. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my what? You'll keep my commandments. And this is very simply what he means. That in life, I can walk down a path of my choices. And I have the freedom to say, God, I'm going to live my life this way. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to believe these things. I'm going to walk this way. And God is a gentleman enough to let you do it. But you know what? If I want to have the hope and the peace and the joy that he's offering me, he says to me, walk this path, not that path. And so now I got to choose. And sometimes in my life, I know that this is God's path for my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions, but I don't want to live that path today. I want to live this path. And so I begin to walk down this path, and I wonder, wait, where did God go? And where's the joy? Where'd it go? Where'd the peace go? Where did the hope go? And I've come to discover that I'm not walking down his path anymore. I'm walking down my path. And so if I can just change my choices and go down his path, all of a sudden, hope is alive again. A little bit later, Jesus says these words, and sometimes they're hard to understand. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. That's not too hard to understand. But then he says this, abide in my love. We don't usually use the word abide very much in our culture today. You don't say, well, you know, Ruthie and I abide at 1015 Fox Run Court. But the word abide means that there's a circle and we're both in the circle. That there's a circle where I feel God's love. I sense his power. I sense his presence. Abiding in his love. I'm in the circle with him. Now I have the choice to step out of the circle. Very similar to walking his path or walking my path. I can live outside of the circle. I can live by my own choices and my own agenda. And God's not going to strike me dead or turn me into a grease spot necessarily. But what he's going to say is, okay, you've stepped out of the circle. Now you're not going to abide in the unique closeness of our relationship. You're not going to abide in my love. And all of a sudden, God's going to feel distant and God's going to feel uncaring. And all of a sudden, the things that I was hoping he would bring into my life, pretty soon my hope is dwindling and it's waning. And now I'm feeling isolated and alone, like nothing's ever going to could that's going to come happen. And what I've discovered is that God hasn't left. I've left the circle of abiding. So I have to make choices. Choices that fuel hope. There are choices in my life that will fuel hope, and there are choices I can make in my life to discourage hope. It's my choice. It's your choice. So three very simple things, and here's number three. Do what your Bible instructs. Do I want to move hope forward? It's very simple. Read my Bible regularly, because man, God's going to show me how he helped people in the past that are dealing with the same stuff that I'm dealing with. Trust your Bible when it says to pray about something instead of worry, pray about it. Trust your Bible when it says to come to God for forgiveness and redemption, I come to God. When it says to go to your brother and tell him you're sorry, or when it says to have joy, or when it says not to give up, or when it says to love the unlovable, when it says to have strength, when it says to turn to God, to call out to God, to cry out to God, those are the things I'm going to do because it tells me how to do that. And then finally, let's do what it instructs us to do. That's how hope is moved forward. So as we've been discovering hope this month, we've been talking about, what's the foundation of the things that you want better in your life? Is it you? Is it someone else? Or is it God? What's the focus of your hope? Can you write it down? If I were to give you pen and paper and say, what five things are you hoping for in your life that will get better? Could you articulate them? And as you read them off to yourself, do they align with what God desires for you, or are they your own list? And then thirdly, am I reading? Am I doing and trusting so that hope is being fueled to move into reality? So God wants us to have hope. Without hope, the Bible says, people perish, people give up. If you had no hope that things are going to get better, you would just give up on life. And God wants you to have the best life possible. So our challenge this month has been, receive hope. Have you received the hope of Jesus? Have you given your life to him? Live out hope. Are you living it out in your life? And then share hope with others. Because there's a lot of people in our world that need joy and peace and hope. And we have it to give to others as God has given it to us. Let's stand together and pray as we conclude our service with the candlelight portion. And you know, before I pray, I'm just going to give you a chance to pray to God on your own, right where you're standing. You just talk to him in your heart as you would talk to me. And maybe you're losing hope that this season is difficult for you. While others are celebrating, you're hurting. Let me encourage you to cry out, to call out to God, and say, God, I need you to be the foundation of my hope. I can't do it. I give up to you. Perhaps you have something on the horizon that you are really, really, really hoping that would happen in your life. Perhaps that relationship or that job or that financial issue or that freedom from addiction or that healing or that just feeling better, let me encourage you to call out to God and say, God, I want you to be the foundation of my hope. And maybe we need to commit to just getting back into the Bible, reading it, trusting it, doing it. It's going to improve our relationship with Him, our relationship with others, and it's going to give us hope in our hearts. Lord, thanks for this Christmas season. Thank you for the hope that you have that you want to give to us, that we can expect life to get better because we have hope in you. Show us how to do this, Lord. Give us hope today. In Jesus' name, amen.